Okay, receiving heavenly blueprints mandate. A mandate comes before a blueprint because the mandate says you can do this and a blueprint says this is how and this is what. So again, Zechariah 3:7, we govern, we have charge, we begin to administrate. We can get help and be trained in this place. That's why wisdom, the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit, angels, cloud of witnesses, they're all involved with us in this. We're not on our own, fortunately. So there's a lot of help going in doing this. So all of us have a mandated position of sonship. We're all governmental, whether we know it or not. We may not be using it, but we are all from seated with in Christ in heavenly places, even if we don't know we're there. We have a position where we need mandates and blueprints to clarify what the Father's doing. He wants to show us, not just give us a set of orders, but actually include us in the whole process because he's involving us as co-heirs. We're involved. So they help us not just the what we're supposed to do, but the how and the where and the when. Because if you don't know when and you don't know where, well, you're going to be stuck, aren't you? So there's a lot of things that God wants to reveal that give us some clarity about that. Really to know God's heart. You know, sometimes God will even give you the why. And the more I've got involved with intimacy, the more God has unveiled why he's doing certain things. And some of that is not intuitive at all. Because he showed me some things that's going on around the world, and I'm looking and thinking, that's you? You're behind this? You're involved in this? So, yep, there's a bigger picture here. Because often we are blinkered. So we get a blinkered view because we're not seeing from God's perspective. But God wants to begin to show us so we can see, well, how what we're doing fits into what he's doing globally. And some of that is important because we're part of the jigsaw. And if we don't fulfill our part, then others won't be able to fulfill their part because we've got to fit together. So mandates, blueprints, laws are often associated with scrolls. We've talked a lot about scrolls. Ezekiel obviously was encouraged to eat his scroll. So that really means taking it into our innermost being, into our heart. And that then becomes a source of knowledge, inspiration, wisdom, understanding. It starts to direct us. It starts to move us. Even if we don't even know what's on it, you'll find that it will start to move you and the desires of your heart will change, or your desires of your heart will be intensified and you'll really start to move towards things. Definition of a scroll: a roll of parchment or paper for writing on. It's really quite simple and straightforward. It's not that complicated. The main thing is what's on it. You know, whether you know it, can read it or not, or just receive it and let it become part of the living sense of God's word in you. Because if it's got words on it, they're living words. And then you take it in you, they are alive. They start to activate. They start to change and move a lot. So you may have a scroll of your destiny, your whole destiny scroll. You've got a scroll of your life. They should line up. They don't often all line up. So there is a little bit of work of dealing with the wood, hay and stubble on our scroll so that they do line up. And God does an awful lot of stuff for us on the fly to keep us in line. And so there may be a mandate on the scroll. There could be a blueprint on the scroll. There could be some legislation. There could be a law. Essentially, the key is to understand, receive them and then be motivated. We've got this, Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book it's written of me. This is Jesus obviously talking. To do your will, O God. Well, we could put our name in that. Every one of us have got a scroll that is to do the will of God. That's what it's for. Every one of us has got a mandate. We just need to connect to it. Now, I connect to it every day, but I don't read it all. I just am motivated by it because my desire is to fulfill it. Whether I have specific instructions or just generally, I want my life to be directed by that scroll. Because that scroll was written before the foundation of the world for me by God. And all the thoughts on that scroll are designed specifically for me. Now, we have individual scrolls. We also have a corporate scroll of things together where we're called to do things. Our destiny, obviously, is to do God's will as a son. And that is not as a steward, just following orders. A son is a totally different relationship with dad. You know, I love hanging out with dad. Most of my time in heaven is spent hanging out with dad. That's what I do. I know it sounds a lot of all this legislation stuff. I do some of that, but most of it is inspired because I'm with Dad. And then Dad says, hey, let's come and walk over here. Or, hey, I want to show you something. And I'm almost like, wow, look at that. It's totally changed my whole perspective of life, some of the things he's shown me. Because he's taking me deeper into love, deeper into what love really means. I look at the world and I can't look at it the same way. Because he's shown me how he loves the world. It motivates me in a totally different way than it did before. So a mandate, definition of a mandate, to give someone authority to act in a certain way. I know we use all these words, so I thought, well, I'll define some of them. It's like, this is the authority you're given to act, specifically. An official order or commission to do something. Synonyms, instruction, directive, direction, decree, command, order, injunction, edict. There's lots of things, which are, these are things that God gives us. And then we're empowered. A blueprint, definition of a blueprint. To draw up a plan or a model. A design plan or other technical drawing. A map, a layout, a pattern. A detailed plan of action. An orderly or step-by-step conception or proposal for accomplishing an objective. Now, these are just out of the dictionary, but you can see how they apply to what God is wanting us to get. A model or prototype. We need a lot of models and prototypes around for people to see. We were talking earlier in the break about, well, where is all this happening? Well, we need more people doing it so more and more people can see where it's happening. And I know a lot of people think, well, I can't do it. Well, I don't have the experience. I don't have the theology degree. Praise God if you haven't got one of them. You won't have to get rid of most of it then. But it's like, it's there, but we're at the beginning of what God is doing. And it's exciting to be at the beginning, but also it can seem quite a long way away for the end. And so what we've got to be is excited and motivated by what God is showing us to keep going, not to give up. When opposition comes, we overcome it. We don't get intimidated by it. So a heavenly blueprint is God's architect's plan to guide us to what to build. With whatever mandate that is. Because if it's in a mandate to build an ecclesia, then that's what you've got to build. Now, an ecclesia can look like a million things. Don't limit it to what we think the old is. It isn't like that. It is so broad that a blueprint can be an ecclesia and it can look like nothing that you would ever think an ecclesia might look like. Because it's a group of people doing something together. That's really what it is. Gathered together around a purpose. That's the blueprint. That's really simply what it is. And that can do anything, can it? So each blueprint carries with it an expression that expresses the heart and the vision and values and purpose that's behind it. Because that's what God wants to reveal. Not just instructions, but heart and values and the purpose of it so that we will be moved by that. Sometimes you can see a picture on a thing and it's like, oh, it's all flat, isn't it? Every diet, unless you've got now 3D modeling. 3D modeling's great because you get to see what it looks like. Before, all you did is see a flat plan. And that can be a bit boring. It's just like, oh, well, it's only, it doesn't really look like anything because you can't see it, the colour and everything else. But God wants to give us more than that. So it becomes our motivation and our plumb line. Because then when you get distracted, because there's all sorts of distractions out there to try and get you off course, you can say, no, I'm not going to get involved with that because that isn't aligned with this blueprint. I don't resonate with that. Yes, it might have an offer of this. It might have lots of money attached to it. But actually, I'm not going, not doing it. Because I get invited all over the world to do things. I don't go unless I know I have a mandate to go. Otherwise, I'm going to be distracted. And why would I go if I've not got a mandate? Well, because it's going to give me money or it's going to be exciting or, hey, I'll get to see some different parts of the world. Well, all those things are great, but actually, I'm not interested in that. I want to do what God says. Habakkuk 2:2 says, the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that one who reads it may run with it. If your blueprint is not easily understood by people, then they'll never run with it. So if you can't explain it in a simple way that catches people's hearts, then you haven't really got it. If you've got it, you'll be able to inspire people with it. Because that's what it will do. It will inspire people to want to be involved. Psalm 139:16. In your book were all written the days that are ordained for me. Because we've all got that. but we need to find it for the other things that we're going to connect to corporately. So there are many different mandates, many different blueprints, daily mandates. They reveal progressively what our destiny is. Each day, we're responsible, fresh mercies every day. Jesus said, hey, tomorrow's got a lot of trouble. Today's got enough of its own. You've got what you need for today. So if we walk it out a day at a time, we'll get where we need to go. Sometimes he will show us some things over there that will give us this, well, we're in the right direction. But actually, it is a little bit like this, bending around and curving. It's not always a straight line, because there are milestones on our journey that we need to get where God wants. So just because it's not easy doesn't mean it isn't right. So there are some specific time-limited mandates. You do this for this season, and then when the season ends, you've got no more authority. So you've got to be careful that you don't extend seasons beyond what God's season is. Because a lot of people are doing ministry that they should have finished years ago, because their season ended. But they're still doing it because it's their life, it's their identity, they're getting their thing from it. It's like, make sure that what you're doing is current. There are ongoing mandates that we have that will be there for the rest of our lives. If you've got one of those, great. There are heavenly mandates, in other words, to do things in heaven, and there are earthly mandates to do things on earth. And some are interactive. Now, we all have this mandate to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue and rule. That is the basis of what generally we're living, as you could say, the foundation for our sonship. But there will be specific things that empower us to succeed in that, that we can receive. So if you have a mandate for a project, an ecclesia, a city, a refuge, an embassy of heaven, an apostolic resource center, a hub, all sorts of names out there for what God's doing, you need a blueprint. Because although God may say to you, establish this, if you don't know what it's supposed to look like, how will you do it? So you need a blueprint. With that blueprint, there will be the spheres of authority. We call them mountains. That's just a symbol of authority that you're seated on. Like God's kingdom is a mountain, Mount Zion. And his garden and all the things of heaven are on a mountain, which is a symbol of authority. And we talk about the mountain of the house of the Lord, which is our corporate identity as sons. We need to know what those spheres are. So you might not know everything to start with. You know, you start with something and it will grow because God will give you more. If you saw everything at the beginning, you might be quite overwhelmed by what God's really got for you. Now, some people don't get overwhelmed. They just get excited. But others will look at it and think, whoa, how can I possibly do all that? And if God had shown me what I'm doing now in 2010, I would have thought, whoa, how can I possibly do that? But because each step of the way, I've sort of done what God said, eventually, sometimes. Not always quickly, but eventually. Then I'm where I am now. You know, now I can look back and see all the points on that journey that have got me here. I couldn't see those points when I looked ahead. I could just see today, God is going to show me what to do. And he did, and I kept following it. So you have specific areas that you will eventually get to grips with. And some of those will be more. You know, we didn't start out with 12 mountains. We started out with 7. And we had some ministries that eventually we thought, oh, they are mountains. So we sort of got a little bit more of a clarity. So our diagram of our blueprint has evolved, although the basic premise has never really changed. We just understood it better. God always saw it that way. We got to see it that way as we went. So what do you do with a mandate? You engage heaven for heaven perspective for it, not just assume that you understand what it is from an earthly one. Because you can get into hot water and trouble if you try and outwork a mandate the way that you want to do it from earth. Engage eternity. Go into the heart of God and see what it looks like from his perspective now. It's cool because all sorts of possibilities open up for you when you start to see from now. Rather than, well, what will it look like then? No, I want it, what is it in the heart of God now? And it really does inspire you. And then seek a blueprint. You know, if you've got a mandate, seek for the blueprint. Ask God to give you what it is that he really wants you to do. And then you can begin to outwork it. And I use mandates to frame my day. I have a mandate for blessing and favor. So I favor and bless my day. By decreeing and declaring that mandate around me, I always have whatever I need to fulfill everything I'm called to do every day. That is my blessing of God. And we've all got that, but are we all expectant for that? I expect I have everything, and that means I have all the time I need. And if I need 28 hours in a day, I have 28 hours in the day. You know, because that's my expectation. I live from that, but I don't just sit back and hope. I make sure that I am ruling that. I'm decreeing it into being. I'm calling it forth. So I call forth for that favor and blessing every day, and I live from it.
I mean, seriously, do you generally find every day is greater than 24?
Well, from the perspective of what I'm doing, yeah. I mean, I fit a lot into my life. I mean, I do gardening, do-it-yourself stuff, not in a spiritual sense, of course, only in a natural sense. And I watch movies, I like sport, I enjoy life. And I can do everything that God is calling me to do. I order my life. I mean, I have a diary because I've got appointments with people all over the world, which I need to connect with. But I also prepare stuff and everything else. You know, if I ever don't know what to do, or I go to the throne of grace and I offload everything I don't know what to do to God, and I sit on his lap. I sit on the Father's lap and I feel his heart and I rest. Then I get off his lap and I write out what I need to do. Because it just comes. Like, you know, it's like I wanted to know what am I supposed to do. We're doing an intensive in a couple of weeks. So we've got 3 days of intensive stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I know generally what you want me to do, but I want to know, obviously I need to know what I'm going to do every session. What is it going to look like? So I go to the throne of grace. God, hey, this is your problem. I'm just going to rest, and there you're going to do this, and you're going to give me whatever I need. Because he will, because he promises. I'm seeking first his kingdom. He adds everything I need. So I get off his lap. I start writing out all the sessions. Didn't think about it, just started doing it. Because he'd imparted it to me, because I went and rested. I didn't go frantically, there's only 2 weeks to go, what am I going to do? It's just like, hey, if I don't know what to do, I know someone who does. So I just go and engage with him. That empowers me. So what do we do with the blueprint?
Can I just go jump in there? He's talking about going into the throne room and giving the Father all the things that he doesn't need. Okay, so sometimes you don't know what you don't need and what you do need, and that can all be a bit complicated. So what I did going back along when I was really pressing in for this, I just said to him, here's my diary. Whatever's on my page that isn't on your page for me, take it off. And whatever's on your page for me that isn't on my page, put it on. Oh my goodness. My life was a complete shambles while he rejigged my whole life. But actually, that is it's a totally practical way in which you can give him control so that he, if you don't know what to give up, do you know what I mean?
And yeah, when I did that, he put a whole load of things in my diary, which made it impossible for me to do it in a natural way. So I had to be able to rule over time and space and things. Because I had to be able to do all this stuff, and I couldn't see how to do it. So I resisted for a while until I surrendered and said, okay, God, I give up. So all this stuff came about. Then I'm like, okay, do it. And then after about a year, he said, well, now I want you to add another 10 things to your diary. So I'm like, oh, by that time I'd say, okay, fine.
Do you consciously just engage his presence, or does it just happen?
Well, no, I consciously engage his presence. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm in his presence all the time because I'm dwelling in that realm. My spirit is in that realm now, in multiple places there now. And that's flowing into me here. So I'm, you know, I separated my soul and spirit, or he did, in a very intense process, which some people may be going through in the next couple of weeks once we do this intensive. Sorry if any of you are here, just exciting you with the possibilities. And basically, he reintegrated me, because we're not supposed to be separate, soul and spirit, we're supposed to be one. So my soul and spirit started to cooperate and flow. So now my spirit soul's here, I'm there, and I'm flowing continually all the time. That's the desire. Now sometimes you have to work that out, but generally it's a lifestyle of relationship that I spend a lot of time hanging out with the Father and enjoying his presence without an agenda, just being. I want to just be. All the doing flows from the being. If we try to do all the doing to get the being, we'll never succeed. So just be, and let it begin to flow, and then all the doing will just, and therefore I can do way more than I could possibly have imagined or and I thought. But sometimes God then does a correction. So, okay, now all this you were doing, I want you to reorganize that, because actually that season has come to an end. Now I've got this season. So I'd been working with, I don't know, 30, 40 groups of people around the world. I had a monthly schedule of these groups every couple of weeks, these groups every month. And then I'd been working with a group of people for a couple of years, and God said, right now, I want you to work with a whole new group of people because they haven't had an opportunity of engaging with you. So I was like, oh, okay, what's that going to look like? Well, it looks like this. Send out a call in the spirit, then send out a call in the natural, and basically invite people who would like to be involved in some mentoring online. And then all these other groups, amalgamate these groups into this group, and therefore you can carry on meeting with them and you can do all this. And that came as just a directive. He just showed me what to do and I did it. And then I get all these people come out. I mean, the first time I did that, I was expecting 20, 30 people to connect. 200 people connected. So all of a sudden, I prepared for 20 and I got 200. And that was the first thing of like, ha, expansion. It's just like, you think it's only this, but actually it's this. But so, okay, God, if you open this door, I'm going to go through it and do it. You know, but I don't walk through doors just because they're there. I don't push any doors in that way. I need to know God's asking me to do something and then I'll do it. So I don't try it out and hope for the best. I really want to know, and I believe I've got a relationship with God which gives me that level of relationship where I know that I can talk to him and he will show me and he'll reveal whatever it is. But generally, I just love hanging out. You know, I have reams of conversations with God. Mostly listening. It's not much of a conversation, actually, but I do chip in now and again with what? But, you know, I share those things with people, and it's like, that's my life. You know, I hang out with God, we have a great time, I'm inspired by that, and then I get on and do all the things I'm called to do. And it works. So what do we do with the blueprint? Carry it in your heart. That will shape our desires and motivations. If you don't carry it, if it's just something which is a plan and it isn't in your heart, you really don't have any authority towards it, and it will be a struggle to outwork it. You've got to carry it. You've got to have the heart for it. Establish the foundation of government around it. That's what you do. It's like, if we got this, well, how are we going to outwork this? If it's just for me, I am the foundational government. For, you know, I am body, soul, and spirit. That's a venture three for me. But a lot of what I'm doing, I don't want to do on my own. I want to do with other people. So actually, therefore, there needs to be some foundational government. Then start building. You know, step by step by step. Don't rush. You know, think, oh, you know, a lot of people are, well, I'm running out of time. You're not running out of time. You've got the time to fulfill your destiny. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair, would it? If God's got a destiny that you can't fulfill, what's the point of that? Now, we may have to change our thinking about the time we have and how we use it and the fact that we don't have to die and we can continue in that way. But that will change because we will begin to align ourselves with what God thinks and not what we think or what our natural thinking is. So then we can use a blueprint to reveal the spheres, the jurisdiction, and then that will begin to give us guidance. We'll get direction from it. Boundaries will start to be set up. Plumb lines will be there. Because then instinctively I will know what's in this blueprint and what isn't. So when we established our blueprint here, from all the things God had spoken to us over the years and put it together, essentially one of the things we were doing, as I said earlier, we had to stop doing. Because bottom line is, it wasn't part of what we were called to do. Now, it was part of our growth, but now at this point, was this here? No. So we just basically gave it away and stopped doing it. Because what's the point of doing something if you're not called to do it? So then sometimes you need some strategy. You know, you need some, this is what we need to do in this season. So this is the foundational season, or this is the preparation season, or this is what you're doing. Do a lot of stuff in heaven, getting ready. A lot of what we're doing in heaven right now, and a lot of what I talked about last time, legislation, all that, is in preparation for things that are coming. We're not seeing it yet manifested on the earth. But we're preparing it in that realm. it's beginning to resonate in that realm. This frequency is starting to vibrate, and it will begin. I'm encouraging groups of people, threes and sevens, to get ready. Not to try and get 50, 100, because that will just create a headache. But if you can get to, with people who have the same heart and the same mind, and you can start preparing, God will add, and he can add supernaturally and give an increase, which is beyond. Overnight, 10 people can come 110 people. 110 people can become 1,000 people. Overnight, when you're ready and your foundation can handle it. But there's pointless having 1,000 people if everything collapses because the foundation is so weak, it doesn't have the relational footings to be able to hold that level. So, you know, I work a lot with people in the US. Now, they're very much mega church. That's the sort of environment they live in. So they're always like, yeah, but when are we going to grow? When are we going to get... Yeah, well, I said, well, maybe God won't ever want you to grow to that number. What do you mean? Well, maybe your blueprint is not that. And they're like, oh. So you've got to not go according to your own cultural environment, because that can push you into a direction which is coming out of the flesh and not out of the spirit. So we've got to be really careful that we're in line with that. And the strategies will help us do that. And we can use it to draw people. Essentially, once you have a blueprint, once you've made it clear, as it says in Habakkuk, then you can use that as a resonance to draw people to it. Because we know that we need people here who aren't here now. Now, many of those are not yet even in a relationship with God, even though, well, not that they know of, even though God is relating to them and working on them to get them here. Because they're part of the next generation that we need. You know, so that's all going on to bring the right people at the right time for everything we need to do. And sometimes you think, oh, come on, hurry up, God. But God isn't hurrying up. He's never in a hurry. Because he knows what we could handle. If God gave us 1,000 people tomorrow, it's like, we'd be like, oh, man, this is going to be hard work. Because it'd be like, it's hard work with 60 people, let alone 1,000 people. So we've got to prepare. And then whenever that comes, because it starts as a trickle, then it starts to increase, then it starts to increase. I'd rather it be that way rather than 1,000 overnight personally. But who knows? When you're ready, you're going to be ready. And God knows when you're going to be ready. So a lot of what we're doing is preparation. Blueprints really help with that. So you have this Habakkuk thing. Then it's like the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. So there is a process in this that we often want it now. And it's like God is much wiser than we are when it comes to process. So patience, don't try and get ahead of God's timing and don't lag behind it. Walk with him. This is about walking alongside, not seeing him somewhere up in the distance that we're trying to get to, or actually racing ahead and he's behind us. Walk alongside him. He walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. Refreshing time. That's what it's like. So here's our blueprint as a church. We have all these mountains around the outside. We have our yellow area, which is our ecclesia area. We have the sort of the pyramid there thing shape, which is the four faces of God and how we do ministry. We have our benches in there. And we have this shalom, which is the peace and wholeness that this brings to our community and what we're looking to do. So obviously that's simply a picture of a blueprint. That's what ours looks like. But other people will look totally different to that. Well, this was, yeah, I was engaging God. When we were at this point, when we got this blueprint, or this scroll that Lindy gave me, it was like to reorganize everything and redefine everything so it would be easy to understand. Now, I'm a diagrammatic person. I'm visual, so it works for me. Some people like a whole load of steps. Some people like statements. For me, I can see that and it makes total sense. Someone else look at that and think, what on earth is that about? But then this is in my heart. So this for me is like, you know, I could explain this to the cows come home because it's part of me. But if you look that, this isn't flat. You can look down on it and think it's flat. It isn't. It's like that. It's like it is going out. It's expanding. It is that. So God's at the centre of it. We're engaging God. The bench of seven, you know, and the bench of seven, they are responsible for that area that I'm part of. So although I'm part of the bench of three, they're responsible for our meetings and what we do. So if they said to me, actually, we don't want you to speak this weekend because we believe God wants to do this. We have a mandate for this. I'll be like, praise God. Great. I don't have to speak this weekend. I won't be saying, how dare you tell me whether I can speak or not? Because I'm subject to that, because they're responsible for that. They're the government for that, and I'm part of it. So we work together on it, and they've done that. You know, they came once, and they were a bit like, I knew they were hesitant. They were saying, well, we really feel we have a mandate, and I think what you're teaching is sort of too advanced for most people at the moment. So I'm like, oh, okay. So, and they said, well, you know, we think, you know, you need to do something about it. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything about it. That's your responsibility. Go back and ask God what the solution is. So they did, and they come back and they said, actually, we think we should have two teaching sessions on a Sunday. You do that in the other room, and we'll do it in here with more foundational things and re-emphasizing what we've done over the... Because we're 4 years into a teaching series, the Engaging God program. So anyone who comes in now are 4 years behind. Now, they can catch up, but they're not going to be on the par with what I'm teaching. So they had the solution they got from heaven. And I'm subject to that solution, and I'm very happy to be. Because actually, that's how this works. You know, it works that way. We empower the bench of seven, and if they are governmentally hearing God, then we're going to align ourselves with that. That's how it works. That's another blueprint from a friend of mine who started from scratch with himself. And I'd been meeting with him for 2 years online. He was a student who was in the university in Baltimore. He connected with me. I started mentoring him. One day, you know, I saw, even 2 years before, I saw on him the mantle to establish a foundation for something. I didn't tell him that, of course, but I waited for God to say it. And one day he said, God told me I need to be a pastor. I said, are you sure? So what do you mean by that? He said, well, God told me I needed to start something. I said, well, that's totally different from being a pastor. You know? So he shared that with a few friends. They got together. God gave them a blueprint. They formed a bench. They've got a bench of three, a bench of seven, a bench of 12. You know, within a few years, they're now operating on a college campus, back into the college. They've had to go through some really difficult opposition, but they've done it. And that's their blueprint. Their thing is iGate. Imperial Gate, which I really like. And they've got iGate Discovery, iGate House of Scrolls, iPhos, Kingly, a prophetic. They developed all that. And they have this iGate core values, relationship, responsibility, love and honour, justice and holiness. I mean, it's awesome. I looked at that and think, wow, I wish we could do something like that. You know, but actually, they did it because they have it as their DNA. They formed this from the beginning. They weren't trying to transition from old to new, which is what we've been trying to do. And it's hard to transition out of old into new because you've got all sorts of mindsets and things. A blueprint will help you to do that because it keeps you going back to this is what we're about. This is why we're going through all this making legislation and government because we have this call. We have been to two scrolls that we were given. When Bob Jones died, the prophet in the States, he showed up here on the Sunday morning after he died. And I'm looking at him thinking, whoa, what are you doing here? And he had a scroll, a fiery scroll in his hand. Because he prophesied a billionfold harvest in 1975. And everyone messed it up because they tried to get a harvest rather than preparing for one. So he came, he said, will you take responsibility for the billionfold harvest? I think, cool, that's a big responsibility, but yeah, I'll have it. And so then I thought, oh, I better check it out with everyone else. So I said, okay, this scroll, do you think we resonate with this? Now, obviously, we've got our part in it. We're not going to produce a billionfold harvest on our own. But then Jesus turned up the next week with a scroll, a fiery scroll. I think, wow. And I said, well, what is it? He said, this is the scroll for the Joshua generation. So you need to be prepared for the mentors for this coming harvest. So that's our two mandates that we really, everything fits around. So they are outworked in that blueprint. So everything we're doing in that blueprint is to fulfill those two mandates, to equip people into their heavenly destiny and then to reach a generation and equip them. That's our whole passion and our whole desire. So, some questions for you for tomorrow and for where you are. Do you have a mandate to establish something on earth as it is in heaven? So if you don't know the answer to that, then God can give you the answer, because I'm sure you do.
If you don't know what, if you don't have an answer to that, the answer's yes.
Yes. Do you have a blueprint to build from? Because you may have an insight that God wants you to do something. Do you have the blueprint? How clear is your blueprint? Could you explain it simply so that anyone would be able to understand it? If there is there unity if others are involved? In other words, do you have the same heart? Because if you don't, it's going to be really difficult. Are there any hidden agendas? You've got to make sure that you get everything out into the open. So I would encourage you to think about those things. We've got some minutes, because I managed to get through that quite quick. Let's engage heaven, okay? Let's engage heaven. And in engaging heaven, it's like we want to engage to you to get either get a clarity for whatever blueprint you've got, or if you don't have a mandate and a blueprint, that God will give you one. Now, he may give it you as a scroll that you don't know what's on it. That's okay. Eat it, and it will start to shape the way you move. Let Jesus lead you into this. It's like the key is for Jesus to take you where you need to go. It's like we can go to the Ark of the Presence of God. We can go into the throne of grace. We can go into the courtroom. We can go into the throne room. We can go into any of those places. And I could go to all of them. But you need to go where God wants you to go. Okay? So heaven's open. We have the ability to step into the heavenly realm. So I would encourage you to, if you want a picture, use the picture. So as a doorway in your imagination. But basically, we have Jacob's ladder, if you like. Heaven is standing open. So if heaven's standing open, there's a door in heaven. There's an invitation. Come up here. So take a step of faith and just take a step through that realm. So I encourage you to close your eyes. Just start thinking about those steps and that door. And just take a step into that realm by faith. And as you step through the doorway, Jesus is there to meet you. So he's our high priest. Just present yourself to him. Let him take you by the hand. And just ask him what you need. If you need a mandate, ask him to take you to where you're going to receive a mandate. If you need a blueprint, ask him to take that you to receive a blueprint, maybe to clarify a blueprint. Wherever that is, just be open for him to take you, for him to lead you. So there's an unveiling of that and a receiving of that to you at a deeper level. Whatever, whether that's cognitive, whether you can see all this, just by your spirit, engage. Okay, well, tomorrow, tomorrow morning, first thing, if you're travelled, or you can travel, 9:30 we're going to have like a round table thing, just an opportunity for questions, interaction. If you're here for that, that's great. We're going to worship together, and then tomorrow then there'll be more workshop environment, so we'll be helping you to define, pull out what your mandates, blueprints are, get them down, get them in a way that you can be able to explain them, and so there'll be much more workshop-y type environment tomorrow to actually, so you can go away with something, hopefully with a bit more clarity. But for those of you who are staying, you know, have a good evening here. For those of you who are traveling back, have a safe journey back. But yeah, be open for God to continue to reveal and unveil some of more clarity about those things. because sometimes they come in the most unexpected moments. You know, you've sort of, well, we stepped into heaven, I didn't really feel I got anything, and all of a sudden, bang, you get this, whoa, where did that come from? Well, it came because God was already preparing to release it to you. You know, so maybe some of you, maybe, you know, eating together or doing something together will find some things will outwork that. So hope you've enjoyed today, and tomorrow we'll carry on and sort of have a much more practical involvement stuff where you can be involved in outworking some of the stuff we've looked at foundationally today.
Okay. So just to say that potentially we could actually run two separate round table things, so that if you've got questions that you want to put to Mark and you've got questions that you want to put to me, we could probably find two separate locations, could we?
Yeah, I'm sure we could do something, depending on the numbers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other thing just to say is I really feel like for some of you, the living words that are assigned to you want to open up encounters for you. Okay? So for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, the Word of God is living and active. Okay? So very often prophetic words, we receive them as a prophetic word. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do tonight is if you're wanting to move from prophetic word into something else, when you go to sleep tonight, I'm going to ask you to engage the living words that are assigned over your life. Okay, so what that means is, so that you understand what I'm saying, you're giving those living words permission to open up an encounter for you during the night. Okay? So that, because once you have an encounter with the living words, you will be propelled into your destiny, because they will put within you everything you need to fulfill that. So I just want to encourage you, because for some of you, you've been pressing in for a long time for blueprints and all sorts of things. And I feel like tonight's the night for you guys. So don't go to bed without engaging with that.
The living words mean prophetic words.
No, the living words are the living words. So the living words are living beings. Okay, so in the heavenly realm, we have pigeonholed such a small little amount. They're angels. Oh my heavens, there's so much more. Okay. So the living words are the word for your life that has come out of the Father's mouth that carries the resonance of heaven and the manifestation of earth. They live, those things live, and they can actually, you can actually have encounter with them where you open up your spirit to receive them. They come in and they shift and change things on the inside so that you can be prepared to step into what he's got for you. Does that make sense? Awesome.